On KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. And Trish Clark and I are feeling peckish today, so stand by. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming worldwide at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, and welcome to July 16th, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, Caring Compassion Community, and Caring. I said Caring, and Courage. They're the first step. You know, those are our front lines. You know what? Frankly, we are the front lines. We, the people, are the front lines in this COVID-19. Washing your hands, stay your distance, wear a mask, and we can help put this thing back into a box. And, of course, I have Sue at the helm.
Good morning.
He's going to give us a COVID after COVID-19. Yeah, give us COVID right after we hear the weather.
And it's 73 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 107, low of 71. Friday, hot, 103, low of 70. On Saturday, high of 104, low of 71. Sunday, 106 and a low of 72. And on Monday, 107 and low of 71. It's not getting any better anytime soon. It looks like it's going to hang out in those high digit numbers through next week. And stay cool, stay hydrated, and this too shall end. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. Or it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Locally owned and operated, they give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay. Hey, today we have with us DA, Stephanie Bridget. She'll be coming about 8:15. But we also have Lieutenant Ron Isley of the Reading Police Department and a couple other reps for this new text 911 to explain what that is and how helpful it's going to be for our community. But Sue's going to give us a COVID-19 update.
Okay, for the state of California, 355,045 cases, up 8,600 due to increased testing. There have been 7,374 deaths, up 131 as of yesterday. Here in Shasta County, we do have additional cases, 37 confirmed cases active of COVID-19 in Shasta County. The Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency reported 6 new cases this week, bringing the total to 215. This is since the very beginning, so our cases are very, very low. Public health officials reporting the first coronavirus-related death in Glenn County, 21 new cases confirmed in Butte County this week, and it looks like Rite Aid is going to be offering several new coronavirus testing sites. So Rite Aid announced this week that they will continue to expand their COVID-19 testing capacity with the additional 161 drive-through testing locations that are opening as of tomorrow. The new sites will utilize self-swab nasal tests overseen by Rite Aid pharmacists and will operate Monday through Friday, 10 to 8. That's 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 5. And Rite Aid announced they're adding several coronavirus testing sites, and among those, Reading, McGillion, and Gridley. Now, Carl, back to you.
You know, Carl, I wonder if I know that we're doing a lot more testing. It would be interesting to hear if there isn't anything they can do about getting the results. I know many people who have been exposed immediately go in and get a test, and then they wait 9 to 12 days to get their results. So they're kind of in a holding pattern. You've got things planned, or you can't go to work. So from the time you get exposed, you're waiting all that time. It seems to me, with all this increased testing capabilities, we need to be putting some pressure on to figure out how to get the results in a timely fashion.
Well, you know, and that's right, because that does have a, hello.
Yes.
Hello. I'm just turning up my, I guess my.
He's giving us a guided tour through his hairy headset.
I'm giving you a guided tour through my head. Hello. Are there any echoes going in there? And that's true. If we're going to test more, we should be able to get the test results back within, you know, 48 to 72 hours. But that, again, is capacity. We got more and more people tested. Now, what I heard yesterday, and before I made that announcement, I went over and checked this. And I heard that we're taking people from out of county with COVID-19.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That Imperial Valley or Imperial County is overrun. Their ICU is full. And we're taking people, but it appears that we're not. The hospital that I was told that they're taking people into said that they have the capacity and talked about all the things able to, you know, assist. There are currently four hospitalized in the county. So if there's only four hospitals in the county, that means that they don't have people coming in from Imperial. That count, down there in Imperial Valley. And then my next question was, because I was talking to a medical professional, was, well, what about, is San Diego getting close? Because, see, it's not the number of cases that come back positive. That's, you know, oh, it's going up. It's because more people are being tested.
That's right.
So, I mean, many more people are being tested. Okay, so, but how many of these people end up into the hospital? Because there's the number you really have to be wary of. In Phoenix, a lot of their ICUs are filled. Florida, who was said, oh, their ICUs were being overrun, said that's absolutely not true. We have plenty of room for that. But that's the number. Are our hospitals filling up? And they are not. So when you get a direction like this to shut down your economy, major portions of your economy again, because of the fear that we're not going to be able to handle this, it's wrong. It's the fact is that we do have the room. We are not putting people in the hospital. If you've got a county that you're being, that you're, all your hospital, you know, your hospitals are loaded with people, yeah, I could see we're, okay, cut back on everything.
Carl, I've lived in this community since 1977. I can remember time after time, specifically when my husband was rushed to the hospital to have a heart operation, was having a massive coronary, and the halls at that time, Reading Medical Center, were lined with patients. There was no room in the inn. It was the flu season. They were going to divert my husband to Red Bluff because they had no room in the inn. I mean, literally, people, they had sick people in the halls all over that hospital. This happens year in and year out during the flu season in all kinds of places throughout the United States. We have never shut our entire economy down because there's not room in the hospital. On a regular day, we've complained for years about going to an emergency room, having to wait forever, being in the hospital trying to be admitted overnight while we're to get through the paperwork, get you into the hospital. I'm just saying, if we were to broadcast on an hourly basis all the people, let's just say, that are killed in a car wreck. Today we had 14 people in Shasta County killed in a car wreck in the state of California, and we did that hour after hour after hour, day after day after day. Do you don't think people would be a little nervous about getting on the freeways? I mean, I'm just saying, this is about 95% fear and 5% fact.
Well, and that's where I'm going to on this. However, you can't forget that COVID's going to kill you. It can kill you.
As can the flu, as can pneumonia, as can all kinds of things.
Well, the problem is that if enough people get sick, it'll be like you had with the flu and you're getting overrun. But then the difference here is that in most of the cases, the flu, you get over it. You may be sick, but you get over it. You get a serious case of COVID, you're dead.
If you have underlying conditions,
no,
in most cases, there are people dying of COVID.
Here's the question. If we do just simple things like we've been doing up here, mm-hmm. we can keep that distance.
And if it's still closing us back down.
And that is wrong. That is absolutely wrong because you can't close down counties that have kept this under control, have done the right thing, and don't have the cases that they're having in other places. You can't do that. But he did. And now this is the time that people either have to make, they have to make that decision. And it's a tough decision. I know this. You know, when Country Kitchen, is it going to stay open today? You know, what can happen to them if Country Kitchen stays open?
I'm hoping that, that the...
Well,
the,
it's open right now. Country Kitchen is open right now. I know several places. San Francisco Deli and others. But what happens to them if they stay open? And probably shouldn't be saying that they're open because we don't want to draw a lot of attention to it. But a lot of businesses, a lot of restaurants are just going to stay open because they cannot close again.
If they have gone through such a dramatic financial hit, closing down the first time, all that product, all of that stuff that it took, that they lost thousands of dollars for these small business people, and now they're back up and running. If they close again, someone told me the other day that the estimate was like 50% of them would not reopen, would not be able to go through another closure, the whole thing again, the money that's borrowed, all of the things that impact that people just don't understand, they just won't open again.
Yeah, well... Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, hey, Chris, hang on till after the break here, and we'll get right to you. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop, where I'm heading today. And I think I'm going to get a medium short haircut because you can't tell what what the Gov is going to do next. He's going And so I'm going to get a medium short haircut today from Logan or Tim. They're both quite excellent. They, you know, there's 10 minutes in between customers, it gives them time to sanitize this chair. You get a disposable drape. They wear a new disposable apron after each haircut. All of their equipment is sanitized, and the chair is sprayed with a sanitation spray that takes like 6 or 7 minutes to work, and then they put another drape over that chair. And so you don't have to worry about it there. It's very clean. Plus, you get the best haircuts in the world, and it's man's last stronghold. That Cypress Square Barbershop, that's where I'm heading today, and I recommend all of you give them a call and get your appointment set up. We'll be right back, and I'm going to try and catch up with our chat room, which is going at the cyclic rate, talking about everything in there today, including why doesn't Rite Aid get more help in there, because they're having to wait to pick up their prescriptions during this COVID thing. Anyway, we'll be right back.
He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire.
The Backhoe and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backhoe and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palo Cedro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM with Trish Clark. Hey, everybody, it is 7:21 in the morning. It's going to be 107 today.
Got
it. Yeah. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Heroes when it came to this last go-around of all everything being shut down. When they helped with that PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, they got money out to a whole lot of people, not just their loan customers, but other people that couldn't get the help by their banks. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. They're still moving local dreams forward. Two locations in town at 1845 California Street and over at the O'Reilly Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue. And if you're down in Red Bluff, it's at 500 Riverside Way. Cornerstone Community Bank. Let's go to the phones. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. I've been listening to you about this COVID issue and so forth. And there's a number that I have never heard either on the radio or on the TV news. And I apologize for my ignorance if it has been mentioned. But how many ICU beds are available in Redmond?
You know, that's a you know, that is a good question.
I think that would do a great thing to clarify if we need a shutdown or what level of shutdown we need, if we know what we have available in case we do have a
You know what, and you know, I think I can get that number. In fact, I think that number is
intentionally not mentioned.
Oh.
In other words, so we have three people in the ICU, but we got 17 beds available.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And I mean, that could really go a long way of clarifying to what extent do we need to do a shutdown.
This is something I just received from Mercy yesterday. We've been planning for a possible surge for some time, prepared to an increase for the volume of COVID-19 patients. Through our surge planning process, we've taken measures to increase our supplies and equipment to provide, you know, high-quality care. We have the capacity to care for more patients, and we would be able to assist our sister hospitals and community partners in the event of a surge. But they don't say how many, and that's a good question.
That's an important number.
I think I'll go back to and ask them, how many people could you? But I think when it gets up over 70, I think I've heard that number 70, but I'm not
70 cases. That doesn't mean 70.
No, not 70 cases. I mean, if 70 people in the ICU, but I'm not positive, and I don't know. But that's a good question, and I'll find out today.
From both hospitals.
From both hospitals. Not just both hospitals, but it's also any other hospital in this area.
Right.
Because we're going to be, you know, if we get too many, they're going to be shifting them. Because, like I said, I heard that some of the counties already. Their ICUs are filled up already down in Southern California.
I've also heard on the news that some of those numbers are skewed in the fact that there are people having procedures done that end up in the ICU, whether it's a heart bypass surgery. That's absolutely true.
They're not
breaking it down.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, buddy. That's a good question.
You're welcome.
Okay. What else here?
Well, I think, just to finish that conversation, they're not giving us any information that clarifies or would relieve your anxiety about anything, because that's not their point. Their point is to keep the anxiety and fear level high enough that they've all got us doing what we're told, and so that they can accomplish their goal, which I just got to go back to, is to keep Donald Trump from getting reelected.
I think that every time – here's my problem. I mean, I'm not going to get up to the federal level, right? What I'm going to say is that we have these restaurants, and I keep pounding on this, is they were told, and they said when they were shut down the first time, they said, okay, you know, we'll do this. But don't let me open up and then shut me down again. That, you know, there's your tipping point. And that's what he just did again. And in some, you know, and in 31 counties, it shut down everything.
Yeah.
Everything again. So, you know, and without hearing anything about, well, who's going to make up for those paychecks? If you have a business that shuts down, do you just totally let, and there's no PPP being said anything about that. There's no, further debt relief on your small business loans. These are things that are going to kill these businesses. And since it's not happening all over the country, how do you give up a countrywide surge?
And that's why in the world, if you've got all of these states and most of them are the states that are controlled by Democratic regimes, why should the rest of the country, the people in the states that are doing it right, have not had the problems, are not having these cases, are opening up their businesses, not suffering like this, why should then those citizens be forced to pay for states like with a governor like Newsom or Washington or Oregon, or, you know, why should those citizens be forced to pay for our stupidity in electing the people we do?
But we've been doing that stupidity for over 200 years.
Well, not necessarily. You know, there was a point in California where this was actually a rational state.
I'm not talking about California. I'm talking about all over. Hey, let's go to the phones. Terry.
Hey, Trish, you're right about California. You know, California is where we live, and a lot of the things we want Congressman Lamalfa to help us with, he really can't because he doesn't have jurisdiction over a lot of the things in California.
Right.
So you're right about that. So why is it important about California? Because we have to do something. That's why we went back to the state of Jefferson. But I did want to bring up one other thing. The ICU units and all this other stuff, I don't know how many times Shasta Regional has been on this program, but probably quite a few. That question never came up. I can't understand why, but I can give one county's answer. Let's go to Kirk Ewers County, County of Placer. 668 beds total, 8 COVID patients. 668 total, 8 COVID cases. And also Sungold on the chat room, I was just looking at that. Normally I don't, but I was just looking at it. And, she's saying, well, why can't this be stopped? Because people are being, what George Floyd was listed as dying of COVID, he was counted in that COVID count. Here's the reason why Sungold. The reason is that the money received by a hospital, for example, on a COVID death as opposed to another type of death could be as much as $14,000 for the type of death, and then it could be approximately $40,000 for COVID. Same thing with simple pneumonia. $4,000 for simple pneumonia, $14,000 for COVID. And that's a true stat. So the deal is that, yeah, you know, gee whiz, you know, there really is fraud out there, and gee whiz, there really is that going on. Not to say those people didn't have COVID, but it wasn't their cause of death. If you're 94 years old, you get something that ruins your immune system or brings it down a little bit, and then you die of pneumonia, But you still had COVID. Who's to say you couldn't have gotten over that? So it's, according to Rich, it's $14,000 per case and $40,000 for COVID. So it's $14,000 for any other case, $40,000 for COVID. There's the rub. I mean, and at what point do we stand up to our board of supervisors? At what point do we just tell the governor, hey, we're just not following, we're just not doing it. And the police, nor anybody else, including the Shasta County Health Department, which is a whole other issue, don't have time for that one. But, the real deal is, Trish, you're right, California, we need to do something about California and get rid of this governor.
Well, and good points, Terry, and your count is the whole thing. They time and time again, every day we get numbers from some state or another where, oh, my God, they counted all the numbers right, half the tests are better or incorrect. There's a great article that just came out from one of the White House advisors about the information that Mr. Fauci or Dr. Fauci has been giving us. Time after time after time after time, he corrects himself and changes the information and swears it's fact and there's no facts to it. It's opinions and tests and rules, and the numbers just don't add up.
Trish, I have a quick question for you. Would you take any kind of cure or any kind of antidote or any kind of vaccine made by Dr. Fauci, who works with Bill Gates? Would you let them inject that into your body?
You got to wonder about that, don't you, Terry?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, how stupid are we all going to be, and at what point do we stand? Really and truly, we have to get the state split, maybe not just for Jefferson, but at least three or four states. We may have a state of Madison down in Southern California before you know it. Point being is we need to do something to stop this tyrannical governor from doing illegal and unlawful, as was mentioned on yesterday's program, things that he's doing. We need to go after him legally that way, not sue him.
Okay. Thanks, Terry. We got to run. Yep. We have to run. It's break time.
Okay.
Get back. Put it back in the box. We got guests.
Okay.
Hey, this
one
portion of the show. No, we've got time at 8.
All
this
right.
Portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. They are open. They are selling the best selection of jewelry that you're going to find anywhere. They are the only full-service jewelry store in Redding, everything from watch repairs to battery replacements to specially designed jewelry for you, plus all different other types of jewelry.
The only thing that makes me feel better in this time is to go visit
Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about this new Text 911.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE. Or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
You win, especially on your birthday. Watch for your free play coupon in the mail. Didn't get your birthday gift? Come on in to Wind River Resort and Casino on your birthday and collect your free play. Or if you have birthday coupons from other casinos, bring them in and we'll match up to $100 in free play. To sweeten the deal, you'll also receive triple points on your special day. Only one birthday gift or free play redeemed per year. Slot play limited to $100. Details at windriver.com.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call him at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you don't need someone. Help.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. It is 7:16 in the morning, and it's, it's like 73 degrees right now, going up to 100. In six today. Yeah, weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Home Helpers is bringing us this segment. They're looking for some good people that work there. Sharon Clark, under all these things that have been going on, has kept her business not only together, but is expanding her business to help people out there. She's looking for people that will be able to pass a background check, but people that want to help other people. And you're going to get all your training there, get all the mentoring and the assistance you need to become a very successful care person for people that need your assistance, whether it's a couple hours a day or 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. To learn more, call Home Helpers at 226-8350 or check out readinghomehelpers.com. Trish and I are here with Lieutenant Ron Isley, who is the interim director of ShASCOM, and Jessica, who is one of the valued members of ShASCOM. So good morning there, Ron.
Good morning, Trish and Carl.
Get right in there, buddy.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Let me move that a little bit closer to you. Okay. Hey, what is ShASCOM?
So ShASCOM is Shasta County's Consolidated Dispatch Center. It provides, first and foremost, an answering point for 911 emergency calls. They do the dispatching for the City of Reading Police Department, City of Anderson Police Department, the Sheriff's Department, Reading Fire Department, and our medical services here in Shasta County. So the Consolidated Dispatch Center puts all that in one place. So the dispatch.
That's a good idea, though.
It is, and it's the push across the country, and it has been. And talking to Trish earlier, Shasta County had the thought, the foresight in the mid-90s to make this change.
Well, it just makes sense. Makes sense that all the calls come into one center. So now, I don't know if I should ask Jessica this or you, but the dispatchers, when they hit it, do you look at a specific event and decide who you're going to call? In other words, should I be calling the highway patrol here? Should I call the sheriff? Should I call the police?
If you call 911, generally you're going to get us. If you're on a freeway, you might get the highway patrol.
Okay.
If you call 911, though, in Shasta County, you're most likely going to get us, and then we know how to get you where you need to go. Since we dispatch for most of the agencies in the county, mm-hmm. we're able to just in-house get it to the right person. We don't even have to transfer it out.
Okay, so you're the one that makes that decision at ShASCOM.
Yeah, it's based on the jurisdiction, and there's other rules that go along with it, yeah. But depending on where it was located, then it depends on what fire department responds or what police department or law enforcement agency might respond to it.
Now, but you need certain information from somebody calling, like where are you, or do you even need that?
We do need the location. We do have some systems that help us locate if you're on a cell phone. But even if you call from a house, we always confirm the location just because we want to do the right thing, get the help to the right location, and the best person to give us that is the person who's there. So we rely on that rather than systems primarily.
Is the fire still dispatched separately? You turn it over to fire, or are they now dispatched through you?
We dispatch for the Reading Fire Department. If it's through Cal Fire or Shasta County Fire, we transfer that out.
Okay.
Okay.
So if you hear something is out in Palo Cedro.
Then we transfer that to CAL FIRE. So okay. Anything within the city of Reading, we would take it ourselves. We would dispatch our units to it.
How many calls do y'all get on an average? Let's say, well, whatever's easier, because Ron's got all the stats there, it looks like. But how many a year do y'all get?
Yeah, I would say on average we're probably around about 23,000, 22 to 23,000 calls a month.
A month?
A month.
Okay.
Yes. But since COVID, our calls for service have been way down, especially when people were at home. So our stats, our numbers from last year to this year are quite different. And then as far as wireless calls that we receive, we're on average probably around 6,300 a month.
So the first statistics you gave is 23,000. That was for all calls.
All calls, yes.
But just the wireless calls were 6,300.
Correct.
I would think that for some reason that's a low number because everybody's got a cell phone. But you're saying a lot of these calls come from landlines, then?
I would say for 911s, the majority of our calls come from cell phones.
Okay.
It's less common to have a landline phone. Usually it's from the elderly community.
Okay.
We still have a landline phone in their house.
My watch wants to know on a regular basis if I've fallen. And if I don't answer it, it's going to call 911. Do you get things like that? I mean, you get an automatic call saying this. Okay. It wants to know. It says, did you fall? Should we call for assistance? And I say,
because you've been sitting too long? Or?
No. That happens. It says to me, my watch tells me to breathe. It says, breathe.
I don't want to watch
like that. No, but if I hit it and if I'm out with it, I'm active, it'll say, did you fall? And I'll say, no, I didn't. So it says, do you need assistance? And so I was just wondering.
And if you don't answer, it would automatically call?
It's never gone to that. So
call us for a test. How about that?
Yeah.
We'll set up an appointment with us.
Okay. So that many calls, 23,000 a month. My gosh. How many people work in ShastCom?
How many on a shift?
On one shift at a time is generally 9, a supervisor and 8 dispatchers.
Wow. Okay. Now, something big's coming up, though.
And it is.
It is. Now, let's talk about that.
Yeah, so we worked in conjunction with the California Highway Patrol and the CAL FIRE Shasta Trinity Unit to introduce a text to 911 capability to the citizens of Shasta County. So it's been a long time coming. The technology has been there all up and down the state. In fact, the Highway Patrol has talked about some of their dispatch centers. They've been doing it since 2015. But the timing was finally right for Shasta County and for us to be able to do this in collaboration with those two agencies because the Highway Patrol, CAL FIRE, and ShastCom are the dispatch centers for Shasta County. So we saw it as a team effort to bring this to the county.
Sure. Okay, look, I'm going to take an early break, and so we can come back and discuss the specifics of this. This portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living, the premier retirement community in Northern California. You know, it's located near Turtle Bay Exploration Park. It's right downtown. It's right next to the VA clinic. But what sets it apart is the staff, the facilities, the superior experiences you get there, a gourmet chef providing meals. Again, COVID's raising its ugly head again, but you don't have to worry about toilet paper or paper towels. Isn't that kind of cool? Food. You don't have to worry about painting the house. You don't have to worry about plumbing issues. You don't have to worry about any of that. And they're pet friendly. River Commons Senior Living is not an assisted living facility. This is for active adults that have just said, hey, I want to change my lifestyle so I have more time for myself, more time for travel. To learn more, give them a call at 238-5981, talk to Brian, and arrange for a personalized tour today. River Commons Senior Living. We'll be right back with ShastCom, Trish Clark, 73 degrees at 7:43 in the morning here on the 16th of July.
Hang on. Help the dog.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Orchard Nutrition Center has exclusive special offers now through the 4th of July. We carry organic, non-GMO, and clean, healthy products, and we're working to keep our communities safe. We offer contactless shopping, social distancing, and we're sanitizing. Our staff, which includes certified nutritionists, take pride in helping you make informed product choices. We look forward to continuing to serve your family for many more years to come. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. The studio of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is the 16th of July, 7:47 in the morning, 75 degrees, going up to 106 today. Trish Clark and I are here with Lieutenant Ron Isley of the Reading Police Department, who is the interim director of ShasCom, and Jessica, who is from ShasCom. We learned in that first segment, 23,000 calls a month coming in there. Ranging from, I'm sure, somebody's trying to kill me, to there's a squirrel in my front yard. Do you get those?
Oh, yes. We get all kinds of calls.
Do you get kind of like really weird ones?
Sure. They're not always exactly emergencies.
No. And so do you get the other people that work there say, hey, you got to listen to this one?
Oh, yes.
And do you put it on like a loudspeaker?
Not a loudspeaker, but we have a way of playing it back for each other. Yes, we definitely take humor in our job. You have to in order to be in this field for very long.
Yeah, it's tough there. Ron, tell us what this text 911 is.
So it gives us the capability to receive someone that's in an emergency situation that's not able to make a voice call. The adage is call if you can, text if you can't. And some examples of the primary usage of 911, of the text 911, would be when someone is in a situation where it is not safe to place a call to 911, if an individual is deaf, hard of hearing, or has a speech disability. When a medical emergency arises that renders the person incapable of speaking, and poor cellular service that might only allow you to text and not make a voice call in an emergency. And basically what we're talking about is here, we would prefer by all means a voice call, because just like we're interacting right now, information is flowing freely. We've all texted before. It takes a long time to get just a basic conversation going via text. And that's what would happen at text. But it's there and it's available now.
Well, I can say right now is that my texting, they have voice text. And so I've tried that a couple of times. Linda uses it all the time. Unfortunately, the phone puts in words that they think you're saying instead of what you're saying.
Just like they do with spell check.
Yeah, spell check. And all of a sudden you're
so irritated.
You're saying, "Oh, I don't understand why we should be worried about a turtle that's in your yard when indeed what you're saying is there's three guys in my yard and it somehow came out into a turtle."
Sure.
That's a problem, but at least it's another way of getting out
there. Right. And if someone's voice texting us, that's not what we want.
No.
We want them to pick up the phone and dial 911 so that we can get accurate and detailed information. It's just going to be a process when it comes in via text.
But if you were in a situation where you couldn't speak because maybe you're in danger and you could get to your phone and just text.
Sure.
But without making the phone call.
Exactly. Let's say the active shooter situation recently in Red Bluff, someone's in fear for their life and they're in hiding, maybe in an office,
yes.
And they don't want their voice to be heard. Perfect example of when to use text 911.
Absolutely, because there are times you can't. Sure. Jessica, now this is launched now, right?
Yes, it's live now.
Okay, so how do you get that? Does it come in, usually you're getting a phone call. How does it show up on your screen?
Sure. Our phone is a computer monitor, so much like a telephone call, it actually has an audible tone, and then everybody knows that there's a call, then somebody grabs it. And then in the system, we are able to just use our normal keyboard and type back and forth to the caller in the text. So it comes up actually on a computer, but much like it would on your phone.
Okay. All right. Now, do you respond back that way?
Yes.
Okay. Well, of course you do. Because
That's the only way we can
talk if they're not listening.
Duh.
We may, we...
More coffee.
We ask that people not use abbreviations. At least our dispatchers don't use abbreviations. And when we're putting this out, we would hope that people also not use abbreviations just because in text anyways, you lose a lot of context of what's actually occurring. When you're on the phone with somebody, you can hear what's going on. You can the background and their voice. But in text, it really is just the words that are being put out there. And it does take time to get that information back and forth. So if someone uses an abbreviation, we don't want to assume what they're meaning. So we ask people
S-H-T-F. To use. S-H-T-F.
Right.
you know that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if somebody goes that, and you go, we got some problems here. Yeah.
So just plain text, general English words are the best, so we can get back and forth to each other and understand what we mean.
Wait a minute. That's a good question. Do you have multilingual?
It is
abilities.
Coming. It is coming. It's actually a great thing that's coming in the future that we'll be able to text back and forth in different languages.
And you can still type in English, but it's going to go back out. What about calls coming in from people that don't speak English?
Yeah, we have a translator line.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, where we can we hook them up with someone in the middle who is a translator, and then they go back and forth for us.
Okay, so you've got translators there. How many different languages do you all have capabilities for?
Oh, I think it's over 100. It's quite a few.
So that person, that translator, is not sitting there. Okay,
no.
So it's in a different location.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? See, I had no idea that you had that capability. Somebody speaking Hmong or Farsi?
Yeah.
You can handle that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct.
We do.
That's cool.
Yeah. One of the things that, speaking of handling, one of the things that text 911 cannot handle is images, photos, videos. We don't have that capability. Well, the whole system does not have that capability yet. Emojis, things of that nature. So,
wow, would that be something, though? Somebody's, 911, and all of a sudden you're seeing photos or a video of something going down, so at least you'd have an idea.
And it's coming, Carl.
It's coming.
It is coming.
That right there is, we've got the technology. Now we're looking bandwidth, probably, and be able to get all that in there.
And you were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah,
with that
Adam McElveen, what Adam's trying to push in here for countywide with that high speed internet, that would do it. I mean, that would give you at least the speed to be able to do something like that, which would increase our ability to help people. Wow, this is really something. And Shascom's been around since the 90s, is that right?
Exactly. As they indicated, it was an intention by the two cities at that time. And the county to put all of the dispatch centers together so that everyone, no matter where you were, you'd get dispatched in a timely manner. took a long time to get to the agreement and the you know, the putting everybody's got turf. And so doing all that, it took a long time. It was a major accomplishment and a nice new facility up there. And, yeah, it was a good thing.
There's some questions coming in here, Jessica, that now, do you all have like a script kind of that you follow? Like you have to ask certain questions?
Not on general calls, but on medical calls we do. We have a certain set of protocols we follow so that we're able to give people CPR instructions over the phone if needed. We're able to provide medical direction before first responders are actually on scene. So for medical, we do have a set of protocols we follow. Otherwise, no. It's okay. Just based off our experience and knowledge.
So okay. During the COVID thing, I'm on the fire board down in the Anderson Fire Protection District, and our calls were way down for medicals.
Yes.
People just simply weren't calling. I mean, it was like they were sitting around. They were getting all kinds of
things
done
for the emergency room.
In the department because those calls. I understand they're back up now.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody's back. Everything's back to normal. Now we're getting
I'm
just lonely calls.
This is kicked off. And so you can reach out 911 via text.
Yes.
And what is the process? I had to run out of here real quick. The process is just you type in 911.
On your phone as you would
phone,
to text anyone.
Anyone. And then you, to send it to 911. And then you say what your problem is and you hit send.
Yeah. It would be best if you say what you need from us, you know, because we do police, fire, and medical. So if you say, I need an officer out to my house, or the next question we're going to ask you is what's your location, because those are the two most important things. Who do you need and where do you need them at?
So the only thing I'd have to do then is go to new message.
Yes.
And I type 911 in there.
Yes.
And then I say, what if I said test? Would somebody come back to me?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
We're seeing if this thing works. I'm sure it does. Obviously, you wouldn't be sitting here on the TV, on the radio station saying, yeah, it works.
If by chance you were in an area and it didn't work.
It's here.
It's here.
Where is your emergency?
Yes.
And I'm just going to say thank you.
Thank you. This was a test. No help needed.
Thanks. No help needed.
If by chance you were in an area where there was no 911 text to 911 service, you will get a kickback message. It will tell you there's no service in this area.
That took all of like 2 seconds.
Yes.
So this is something if for some reason you can't speak and you have to text, we now have that capability, and we just tested it on the radio, and it worked.
And it worked.
I like Ron's face.
And so when my number comes up, give me that
cell phone.
Confidence was high, Carl.
Yeah,
confidence was high.
Confidence was high. But
I wasn't expecting it, but confidence was high.
Well, you know what? When you come out, just tell me something's out there. I'm gonna try it.
Yeah.
And also, even if it hadn't come back, I'd have said, oh yeah, there it is. Then I would have gone, and y'all could have gone back. And but it did. It happened immediately. I said thanks. No help needed. So there was no other response.
And it was instantaneous.
Yeah.
It was.
And we only have so many people working, so we don't want everyone in the county testing it out, though.
Trust Carl
on this.
We did this for you. Don't anybody else try it.
You need to do it. It does work downtown. Okay. Hey, thank you so much for coming in today, Ron. Any last thoughts here?
Just the slogan again is call if you can, text if you can't. It's important.
Great emergency tool.
A great emergency tool, yes.
Yeah,
long time coming.
And we're really happy about that. And I imagine in the next few years we're going to be able to see that you and somebody that needs help will be able to send a photo or video. Not right now, but in the years to come when we get more bandwidth and the ability to do that. So and be able to give a picture to our first responders about what they're seeing. And that would be a big help. So, well, thank you so much, Lieutenant Ron Isley, who is the interim director of ShASCOM and, of course, works at the Reading Police Department and is, by the way, a former Marine.
Semper Fi, Carl.
Semper Fi.
Thank you for your service.
And Jessica, who is – what's your position over there?
I'm an administrative manager.
Okay. So are you on the lines?
Not
sometime?
Recently.
Okay.
No, yeah.
No, you kind
23
of,
years of doing that. Now I'm moving to 20, the other side.
23
yeah.
years. So you
yes.
started when you were, what, two? So
you were there shortly – well, you were there while I was still on the board.
Yeah, I started in 97.
Are you looking for dispatchers?
Yes, always.
Always. Now,
yes.
How do they get a hold of the person?
They can go to our website, ShastaCom911.com, or even email jobs@ShastaCom911.com and ask for an application, and I will send it right out.
Okay. So and what kind of people are you looking for?
We're looking for people who are looking for a career, who are dedicated, who want to do something good in their life and be involved in the community. You have to be a multitasker and a quick thinker, and you have to take charge and be able to handle any situation. It really is a difficult job, but it is a rewarding career.
Okay. Thank you very much. Hey, when we get back after the news, Stephanie Bridget, Shasta County DA, will join us in a few minutes, so we'll have some time to discuss things.
This Bureau reports retail sales are 1.1% higher than their levels from a year ago after a brutal plunge in March and April was offset by an encouraging rebound in May and June. The report shows how shoppers and businesses are adjusting to life in a pandemic. They're changing their habits in hopes of halting an illness that can quickly flare up and wreak financial havoc.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. Unemployment claims virtually unchanged last week, coming in at 1.3 million. That was a slight decline from the week before. President Trump, who bills himself as the law and order president, has picked up a major endorsement from law enforcement. The National Association of Police Organizations, backing Mr. Trump's re-election, citing what it terms his steadfast and very public support of the police. The NAPO had backed Obama-Biden in 2008 and again in 2012. And the president has shaken up his campaign staff less than 4 months before Election Day.
The president removed Brad Parscale as campaign manager and replaced him with veteran GOP operative Bill Stepien. The staff shakeup comes with many polls showing Democrat Joe Biden leading the presidential race. Mr. Trump's relationship with Parscale worsened after last month's Tulsa, Oklahoma rally, which drew an unexpectedly low crowd. However, Parscale will remain a senior advisor to the campaign and continue handling digital and data strategies. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Convicted killer Wesley Perkey has been put to death in Indiana. The second federal execution this week was carried out after the Supreme Court refused to block it. Stocks in the red on Wall Street. Right now, the Dow down 52 points. The S&P is off 20. The NASDAQ Composite Index down 162. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I love golf, and I also stink at golf. I've tried it all, the lessons, the special swing contraptions, the neon brush tees, the funny hats, the putting all of my change in my left pocket. I like to say I just happen to have a high golf handicap. My friends would say I have a high talent disadvantage. Luckily, while I might be fighting some disadvantages on the golf course, at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're lucky to be able to serve listeners with a unique advantage. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. And for you, that can mean shorter turnaround times and often a lower rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money on a new home, refinance, or cash-out refinance. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Middle Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Twitter says it's working to clean up the damage done by a major hack attack.
At first, it appeared that a couple of prominent individuals had been hacked, their Twitter accounts appealing for people to send money to a Bitcoin address. Then, as similar messages requesting donations were tweeted by the accounts of Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and many others, it rapidly became clear that the security of Twitter itself had been compromised. A few hours later, the company said there'd been a coordinated attack targeting employees with access to internal systems. It's not unusual for hackers to use this method to target organizations. But for Twitter, to fall victim to it is a major embarrassment for the company.
The BBC's Rory Kellen-Jones. The European Central Bank leaving its monetary stimulus programs unchanged ahead of a key meeting of EU leaders. They'll look at a coronavirus recovery plan. Townhall.com. Maryland has uncovered a massive identity theft scheme linked to bogus unemployment claims.
Governor Larry Hogan reports what he is calling a clearly coordinated criminal enterprise, as state officials have counted some 47,500 fraudulent unemployment insurance claims in the state, adding up to more than $501 million. The case relates to activity in at least a dozen other states. During the 4th of July weekend, employees at Maryland's inbound website detected and reported an unusual amount of out-of-state federal claims. A Labor Department special agent says that such unemployment insurance fraud has grown from 10% of the department's casework to 50%, and it's growing. George Bonzani reporting.
Walmart will require customers to wear face coverings at all of its namesake and Sam's Club stores, making it the largest retailer to introduce such a policy. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
KCNR at 96.5 FM, online and AM 1460. Good morning. It is Free Fire Radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. I turned it up. Can you hear it now? Okay. It is 8:05 in the morning. It is the 16th of July, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. They're our first line of defense out there in COVID. That's right after masking, distancing, and washing your hands that we should all be looking at very, very closely and following those guidelines. Not those laws, but those guidelines. And Trish is here with the weather.
It's 77 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 107 and a low of 71. On Friday, continued hot, a high of 103, a low of 70. And on Saturday, 104 and a low of 71. On Sunday, nice toasty 106 and a low of 72. And on Monday, 107 and a low of 71. And continuing with that kind of pattern through next week. No relief in sight. Stay cool. Stay hydrated. Keep inside during the hot of the day. Watch your pets and animals. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
You know, that is the most, you're very calm, composed, level voice when you're doing that. And that's really the only time I hear that voice is when you're reading. You know, when you're telling everybody.
I tend to get into my conversations,
yeah,
Carl.
I have
a lot of enthusiasm and vigor when I speak.
I know, and we've stopped trying to keep control of your microphone.
I
don't mean control in the sense of cutting you off, but just keeping the level.
It goes up and down. Yeah.
Well, no, it's because
my volume goes up.
Your
and
volume
down.
Goes, and then you the turn morning. Your face back and forth, uh-huh. and mm-hmm. so when you're talking, because you're into.
Yeah, but people hear me. They hear me.
Hey, by the way, the Korean War veterans. Have mask for Korean. The Korean War Veterans Association has mask for Korean War veterans. They are Chapter 1. The Korean War Veterans Association of Chapter 1 of Reading is having their second free mask giveaway for Korean War veterans and their spouses. They donated. The Republic of South Korea donated 500,000 masks for Korean War veterans. They have 800 left for their second local giveaway. They started out with like 4,000. So there's still left 800 left for this, and it's going to be at Sportsman's Warehouse, Wednesday, July 22nd, a week from yesterday, starting at 9 a.m., ending at 2 p.m. For more information, give Frank Rose a call at 247-3844.
And just a quick note, Carl, if I might, I want to remind everybody that the Frontier Senior Center down in Anderson is going to do another drive-through tri-tip sale, on this Saturday. So starting at 12 o'clock, come right away because we sell out in a couple hours. So don't wait till late in the afternoon. Be coming there right at 12 o'clock or shortly thereafter. The great sandwiches cooked by the Anderson Rotary. You get a huge sandwich. a drink and a chip for $10, and it's a fundraiser for the senior center. You know, we are open, and at this point, not able to have dances and not able to rent the facility, not a lot of income coming in, and it's one of those struggling privately owned businesses that we need to support. So,
and let me just give you a big shout out, because I came in there last time you had this. Linda and I came in, got our sandwiches. We went down by the river at Anderson River Park.
Oh yeah.
Sat on a bench there and had had the sandwiches, and I think it came with chips and a drink.
Yeah.
And just had it down there. The tri-tip was excellent.
Good.
By the way, in fact, tri-tip, which is, you know, you might say a less expensive cut of meat.
Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. But it was wonderful. And
good.
It was, so if you get a chance, go on down there.
Again, on this Saturday at the Frontier Senior Center, we're right behind the New Tech High School there. Easy to find right off North Street. You just drive through, pick up your bag. You're there a very short time. 12 o'clock is when it starts.
Okay, well, let's start off with an easy. But Stephanie Bridges, Shasta County District Attorney, is with us. Let's start off with an easy question.
Good morning.
Good morning. You going to prosecute any of these businesses that stay open?
You know, prosecuting businesses is not something anyone wants to do. We all need to work together as a community and try to get through these times. And I think that's what we're all trying to do.
And that's a good non-answer, because I get the same one from the sheriff and the chief. And it's education that we want to push
out. Yeah.
Nobody wants to hurt a business in our community.
Nobody does.
And you know what? And when we get these, and this shutdown this time has caused even more consternation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It absolutely has.
People were just getting revved back up and going, and then boom, they're shut down again.
And
we
don't have the numbers that say we should shut down.
Right.
And
right.
I think that's the hardest part. If people saw more and more people, and I'm not talking about testing positive, because the more you test, the more positive you're going to get. But it's how many people are going to the hospital?
How many people are dying?
And our numbers are staying very low when it comes to hospitalizations.
And this is when you get this statewide edict from a guy that hasn't even been up here.
And didn't close his own winery.
Well,
just saying.
There's always that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rules being made by people who don't follow them themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very frustrating.
It is.
It is.
I think, as Carl was saying, if you give people common sense reasons and you give them a set of rules and we follow them and then you follow through, we can all live with that.
We can live with that.
But when you give us a set of rules and then change them on a daily, if not hourly, basis, and, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, do this, don't do this, if you do this, you get to do that, and then change it arbitrarily, then people start going, wait a minute,
and
this is making no sense and I'm not doing it.
Right.
And Stephanie, when you all, we have laws that keeps us a polite society and one that we can really operate within, you know, with each other.
Right.
But if you put a law out there, like the Volstead Act, that people just are totally going to ignore, now you've made people lawbreakers. And now you make people trust their government less.
But these are not laws.
No, but I'm telling
you. These are guidelines.
Well,
these are edicts. There's a difference.
But here's the difference.
Governor orders,
We're being ruled, not governed.
But then you can send down the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, or the booze, whoever the beverage guy is, and you can pull your license forever.
Right.
Now, that's different. I mean, okay, one's a guideline, but by the way, if you don't follow the guideline, I'm taking away your way of making money for the rest of your life.
Right.
And, of course,
right. Those
are things that could be appealed and perhaps won in a court, but who has the opportunity to go through all of that who has any money left at the end of it?
So, while their business is completely closed down and they're not making any money. And, I mean, it's very hard on everyone. There's a moving target. It's changing every day. So, you know, I have a lot of sympathy for all of our business owners and what they're going through. And the thing that's extra frustrating for me from my side is that I'm seeing what the governor's doing is releasing a lot of felons out of our prisons.
Next month.
Well, they've been doing.
Yeah,
they've
been doing
it next month, but now next month they're doing even more.
8,000 people.
Yeah, they're releasing the gates even more. And then yet at the same, in the next breath, they say, but let's make our local business, hardworking citizens, criminals. Let's try and prosecute them. So it's strange the things that we're seeing, the things that are going on, and it's frustrating for everybody.
Well, I tell you what, let's take a quick break, and we've got the rest of the show to discuss, some of the things that are going on. This 8,000 impact, I asked the sheriff about that yesterday, and his eyes rolls. His eyes roll. He goes, and then now what's happened since zero bail has now gone away. We're back up. So all these questions we want to discuss with you, and then things that the Shasta County DA is doing here over the next couple months. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. You know, it's the only area hospital with the Da Vinci Xi surgery robotic system. What's this mean? This means you can go in and for a surgical procedure that used to be an inpatient, now it's an outpatient. It's done with it's going in with minimally invasive surgery. In other words, they can put a camera into you, and along with that, when the cables go in, or the camera cables go in, they can go in and very precisely take care of whatever that is, whatever the problem is. A lot less invasive, a lot less pain. You recover a lot faster. And Shasta is the only one, Shasta Regional is the only one that's got one of these machines. Shasta Regional Medical Center is also one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals in the nation. In the nation, one of the top 50. Shasta Regional Medical Center, your health, your choice. We'll be right back with Shasta County DA, Stephanie Bridget.
Get your morning update with us.
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being with us this morning here on the 16th of July, 8:19 in the morning. 77 degrees, going up to 107 today. Woo! This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. As Linda was talking about, speaking of yesterday, we're in close touch with Judy Maxwell because we'd love to have Linda's parents come up here, but we've got to work out the health insurance type of thing because they're under one type of health insurance and it's not offered up here. So what can we do to get them up here, get them covered on health insurance? Because we've got the best health care system up here among the doctors and the hospitals that we have here. But, you know, you do need that health insurance. So Judy's working hard on that. And if anybody can find out an answer for you, it's Judy Maxwell. She's been doing this since 1993, has expanded her business again because she is doing the right thing. She is helping her customers. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Give them a call at 221-0441. Trish Clark and I are here today with Stephanie Bridget, DA of Shasta County. And you said, you know, during the break that you all were crazy busy this week.
Yeah, it just seems like we're so busy. I mean, not only are we dealing with the same stuff that we always are, but now we're dealing with extra level with COVID, with having the shutdown, and now we've got extra cases that are showing up in the courtrooms and showing up for jury trials. And everything's different, and everything's unknown. You know, picking a jury is taking 2, 3, 4 times as long.
And why is that?
Well, because we've got, they're only bringing up a limited number of people. Everyone's required to wear a mask. I believe the courthouse, as of this week, is now requiring it to be mandatory to get your temperature checked, or you won't be able to be allowed into the courthouse.
That's another step to slow things down.
It just slows things down. And not only that, but it can't tell me that when you, as a prosecutor, and you're looking at a possible jury selection, you can't see their face now.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, this.
You can't tell if they're going.
Yeah, because a lot of selecting a jury is not only talking to the person that you're asking questions to.
Yeah.
It's looking at their facial reactions, but it's looking at all the other jurors and how they have a facial reaction to the juror that's there. So it's very difficult. And now we're only bringing up a very limited number of jurors at a time. And then once we have our jury, they're sitting spaced out in the audience out in
the
gallery.
You can't even watch the whole.
So you're like having to turn around and present your evidence and argue and stuff out to the audience area. So it's a new, very much of a new time.
Let me ask you something. Is the selection of a jury, I don't think we've ever gotten into this thing. The selection of the jury is so important for both sides.
100%.
And you have challenges that you can, you know, look at somebody, the question comes up, and you can immediately challenge them, but so does the defense attorney.
Right.
Can do the same thing. Do you have somebody that, but there are people out there, from what I understand, get paid enormous sums of money on these big trials to come out there, and they give their readings of possible jury members.
Right.
Is that true?
There are people that do that professionally. I personally would never use someone like that because you're selecting a jury, you can really almost win or lose your case with the jury you select. You have to select a jury that you know can work together, that can understand your evidence, that maybe you have somewhat of a connection to. You feel like the person, you know, you don't really know them, but you feel like, okay, I could have coffee with this person. We'd probably get along. You know, you're trying to look for people that connect with you. So if you're bringing someone else in to give opinions to that and make decisions for you, I just don't think I could do that because so much of it is those things that I talked about.
Yeah. And so, you know, do you give like classes to your attorneys?
Well, we definitely send them to a lot of trainings. Put on by the California District Attorneys Association that include jury selection. We try to get our more senior attorneys to go over and watch them in trial and critique them. And then we also send them over to watch our more senior attorneys when they're in trial. So
to see how
all
do
of
it.
That training, though, goes out the window when you can't look at the people's face and you can't read their expressions and you can't. That's got to be really tough.
And it's. And also the kind of the bigger hurdle that I think of is when a witness is on the stand and they're testifying and
with a mask on.
With a mask on. Now they have put up plexiglass around parts of that jury box so the juror can take their mask off.
Can you ask them to take their mask off?
Well, I mean, what if someone says no? You know, I mean, I'm just envisioning the person who's like, no, I'm, you know, super cautious. I'm going to keep my mask on. That's difficult because you're going to be, so much of your direct examination, your cross-examination of that person, you're not only looking at what they say, but whether they're smiling, whether they smirk, whether they do any of those things. And you're talking about that in your closing argument.
Now, you can tell by people's eyes if they're doing, you know, if there's a smile there or smirk, or it could be a growl because their eyes move. You know, you kind of wrinkle up a little bit, but you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And so you're going, did they just smile right then, or are they snarling at me through the mask?
Now, which is it?
Now, the defense attorney, what he or she is looking for, they're looking for the same things. Can I reach this person?
Right.
Or do I want to pick somebody that's never going to understand the complexities of this case?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, as the O.J. trial.
Yeah.
Had, you know, some of them never understood what DNA was.
Or picking someone that you think is never going to get along with the other people I mean, there's a lot of strategy on both sides.
We'd like to report that there's been two fistfights in the jury room, and we haven't even gotten into the talking about what's happened.
Yeah, we're still picking a four-person.
Yeah. Okay, so you don't think about how tough it is now when you're having to wear a mask on something like that. It's getting... And getting a jury seated that's one that's going to give a fair trial.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to listen to both sides.
And this must be really difficult for the court reporter.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because it's so difficult to hear and follow anyway. And I find it very difficult to communicate with the masks on. A lot of times when you're in a store or you're trying to accomplish something, can't understand.
Yeah.
What the other person is saying, so that's got to be really hard for the court reporter now.
Yeah, absolutely, because we're here talking, and we can sometimes step on each other's last sentence or say "yeah" on top of the other person talking, and those are the normal struggles that court reporters often have. Like, don't talk over each other, don't step on each other's words. But now you add on to that somewhat of a muffled voice, especially if they've got their back to the court reporter now because they're facing the gallery. So there's just all kinds of,
and then
the,
you know, it may not, and it may be words that are said that come, that they put into the court transcripts, that's not what you said.
Yeah.
And that could give a completely different, when let's look at the transcripts, and they go back and look at it and go, well, that's, you know, I didn't hear that because it wasn't said.
Yeah,
well, that's tough.
It can be tough.
How about we just skip that part and we just put them in jail. I mean, we caught them. They did it. Why don't we just put them in jail?
Yeah. Well, they go in jail before their jury, but you can't keep them there.
They admit it. Yeah, I did it. Okay, well, you go straight to jail. Do not pass go. And if you do, you know, if you say you're guilty and just go straight to jail, we'll give you $100.
Yeah.
It'd be cheaper.
Yeah.
Okay, not.
It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen, so.
This is interesting about how tough it is now. And especially if you get... a trial where it is technically, there are a lot of technical aspects to it. Now the jury's got to be able to, they have to be able to lean in, but they're spread out.
Right.
Did you say they're in the gallery now?
Yeah.
So they're totally behind you. And I've sat there before, you know, for traffic or been in there. I've been in there before when they've, you know, like doing a conservatorship. So I know what the place looks like. And so you've got this, there's not, even then there's not that much room in there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then if you think about the attorneys that are involved, you know, my prosecutors are wearing a mask for 8 hours straight. And if you're talking for an hour or 2 hours with a mask on, that's really difficult. I mean, you're breathing your own air, your face is warm. I mean, it's difficult.
So, getting into the masks is a whole other conversation because there's so many conflicting facts, if you will, about the good or bad of masks.
Let's go to Terry. He's got a question on jury selection. Terry.
I do. Thank you. Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
Anyway, the question I have is, if you're exempt from wearing a mask, according to the Department of Justice, it's an ADA violation if you're made to wear a mask.
Right.
Does that mean that someone who may be in good health other than cannot wear a mask isn't now allowed to be on the jury? Does that mean that they're not allowed access to a courtroom? Does that mean that they're not allowed that constitutional right? And what's the jurisdiction on that? And what's the legal law, not the requirement or somebody saying that you should do this, should do that. What happens to those people who can't wear a mask?
Okay, so, that's a good question. Thanks,
yeah,
Terry.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So the court issued yesterday an executive order to require face masks for anyone in the courtroom. So now there is a local court order to wear face masks. So any noncompliance with that would be violation of court order, which could be a misdemeanor. So they are requiring masks. It is ordered in our local courthouse. But they do also put in there a procedure for anyone who has a exemption for medical or whatever it may be. There is a procedure for them to go through in order to apply
because
for that.
As Terry states, the American with Disabilities Act.
Yep.
Tim Curry states that you can't force somebody to wear a mask under certain circumstances.
Yeah, and they have a procedure for that. They've created
the other thing too, besides that, is it's just like you just said, Stephanie. You've got the attorneys and the judge. Everybody's wearing a mask for 8 hours.
Yeah.
Most people don't do that. I mean, I mask up when I go out and I go into stores and this. But as soon as I'm out of there, mask comes off.
Peeling it off as quick as you can.
Yeah, and if you go into some places and it's warm, now you are just, it's so uncomfortable. So then people are going to start thinking more about, I can't breathe, instead of what's going on in the trial.
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole thing's a mess. Yeah. Okay.
All the unintended consequences. Of a snap decision to just shut down society.
Yeah. It has a huge ripple effect
on everything.
You know, when you close down a restaurant, you think, okay, I'm closing down that restaurant. Well, no, you're closing down more than that. You're closing down the people that truck the food in. You're closing down the farmers that grow the food. The ranchers that raise the beef. You're shutting all of this down, and the ripple effect goes on and on and on, from paper products to wrap things to soap to wash the dishes to everything. And when you do something like that, the ripple effect, it touches everybody. So it just is the same thing as it does in the courtrooms. And we got to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. It is the 16th of July. It's 8:31 in the morning, and it's 77 degrees, going up to 107 today. We'll be right back. Just let your love go.
Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Summer Blast is live at the Shasta Public Libraries. Join in their free summer reading program for kids, tweens, teens, and adults. Going on all summer long. Help your kids avoid the summer slide and be a reading role model. Read to win prizes like books, gift cards, and a kid's kitchen playset and more. The more you read, the more chances to win. Let your imagination run wild. Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Sign up online today at summerblast.fun.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision.
Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. Good music there, kiddo. In the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 8:36 in the morning, and it's about 78 degrees, going up to 107 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Northern Firearms Instruction is bringing us this segment of the show. As you know, that the sale of firearms has gone beyond what anybody could think.
Across the United States.
Across the United States, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, and independent, people are buying guns. My friends, if you're going to buy a gun, especially pistols, because, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, Bastiani is just trying like heck to keep his shelves filled. So many people are in there buying pistols. If you're going to buy a pistol, learn how to use it. Learn how to use it safely. Northern Firearms Instruction. If you don't want a CCW, but you want to learn how to shoot correctly, a lot better than you can shoot right now, we have classes just for that, for how to shoot a pistol, how to use it safely. If you want your CCW, of course, this is the most complete CCW training you're going to find anywhere in California at Northern Firearms Instruction. We're teaching classes, as you can probably imagine, every weekend, filling up the range. So because we're distancing people, we're doing our own social distancing out there. But if you want to learn to shoot, or you want to pick up, maybe new ways, or you want to go out and fire that new pistol, Northern Firearms Instruction. Check it out at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 999-1822. Trish Clark and I are here, and we're with Shasta County DA Stephanie Bridget. And you all were looked at by the grand jury. And which, by the way, thank you, Reading Record Searchlight. They put the whole grand jury proceedings and the findings in a special insert in the paper a couple weeks ago. And it talked about the jail. And then they talked about a couple different things, but the DA was one of those. Right. The findings in there, if you don't mind sharing that with us.
Yeah, so there were several findings, 7 or 8, I believe. But overall, it is, it talked about the fact that we have turnover, and we're having turnover, like a lot of counties, I think is a sign of the times, but also it's a sign of, people are really getting overworked, and it's hard to stay in a job where you're working 6-7 days a week, 10 hours a day, because the caseloads are so big, and you see it maybe a civil job out there that you could take that you're going to work more decent hours and get paid more for those. So it is nice to have the grand jury kind of do that investigation and come back with what we know and what we've been saying to be true, but to have an independent person or group take a look at it. Because we have, and that is one of their findings, the turnover because of the caseloads, the time people are required to work just to get their jobs done. But also that the morale is still very high in the office, that people like it there, that they are committed to what they're doing, and they want to make a difference for the community. But, you know, we do. We need to get more prosecutors, more support staff, so that we can do what we need to do to really get the job done.
And Stephanie, do you actually have vacancies in those positions now that could be filled?
So
if we had the qualified people to
right,
do that.
Yeah. So we have two attorney positions, one that is now filled. A person is should be starting in 2 weeks, I think August 3rd. We have a new person starting, and we do have another person in background for the other spot, so we may potentially get our current spots filled, which will go a long way, just having all of our current spots filled. But like, you know, we've talked about before, how many we actually need to do everything
exactly.
We got to do is a lot more than we have funded at this time.
So I'm taking my online law courses, so I should be graduating in a couple years. You don't care how old we are, do you?
No, absolutely not.
You just need to have somebody with bloodthirst.
No.
Know,
we need someone who's going to be fair, who's going to be fair and look at the facts, look at the law, and make a decision.
So the board is in the process of the budget process.
Yeah.
At this point. How is the Shasta County budget as it relates to you looking for the coming year?
So I think that our budget, especially if we compare it to other counties up and down the state, from what I'm hearing from my colleagues, we're in a much better position. There's a lot of counties that are having to have layoffs in the DA's offices.
Wow.
We're not, so that's great. We were actually able to get a few extra staff members that we needed to help support our current attorneys. So that's really positive that we were able to do that this time.
That's good news, yeah.
Yeah, that we need.
Which is another thing that separates us as a county and should be looked at when we're looking at things.
Absolutely.
Like closing
down. Again, it should be individual counties,
right,
instead of this broad brush, the state thing,
right,
by a governor who thinks who learned how to govern from the movie Blazing Saddles, looking at the governor in that.
I
think that's giving
Mel
him
Brooks
too much credit.
Okay. There's a question in here. We see cases that hit the papers,
okay,
and that's the last time we see them. Like this. The policeman, Williams,
mm-hmm,
has that gone forward, or what's going on with that? That's one of the questions.
Nothing has been submitted to my office as of yet.
Okay, so that's you're waiting for the police to submit that to you.
Right.
Okay. Before we take a break here, I have to make an announcement that two things. One is, here's a perfect example of what happens to a business. Tortilla Flats has produce that was just delivered, and now they're closed. Opening to the public today to buy some at really great prices, noon to 4, carrots, onions, avocados, chili con carne, chili verde with pork. They're having to sell this, and they're trying to, instead of just trying to freeze it or throw it away.
What time are they open? I love it.
From noon to 4 today, from noon to 4 today, you can go down there and buy food that they've already ordered.
Right.
And so they're just going to take a loss immediately on that. But it's not as much as if they have to throw it all away.
Yeah.
And that's the unintended consequences. We talked earlier.
Yes.
I know several it's the small businesses. It's our privately owned entrepreneurs that are on the line here.
Right.
We're not talking about Target and Costco and
no, they're
Walmart.
Allowed,
no,
they're staying
off, they're
open.
Still open. Yeah.
That's the biggest frustration I think that people are having with this, because I have gone to restaurants over the last month or two.
Exactly.
That it's
everybody
been
has
open.
Yeah.
And they've
and
been following every
everything,
one of the details.
Yeah.
Their servers are masked.
Yeah.
You're separated. These people, a lot of them that were finally able to get it together and open, I would guess them that probably 50% of them, well, now, if they end up closing this time, they're not going to be able to reopen. They're not going to be able to recover.
Especially
quite,
if that PPP doesn't roll back in to help them pay,
right,
for their employees and
right,
all this. Anyway, okay, I just want to let everybody know that's what's happening at Tortilla Flats. If you got another business out there and you're having to do the same thing, feel free to come in. We'll put it on our website. We'll put it on our Facebook page. The other thing is the Shasta County Board of Supervisors is shutting their meetings down again. Starting July 21st, they will have it closed. If you want to hear what's going on, according to the press release, if you want to know what's going on at the County Board of Supervisors, if anybody can figure it out, is that watch a live stream of the meeting online or view the recording, submit public comment via email, or provide telephone public comment during that live meeting. They won't, I don't understand why they couldn't put, again, a microphone at the doorway coming into the chambers, that people socially distance out there. They come in, you've got somebody there masked, they make their statements for the 3 minutes, they wipe down the microphones like we do here, and then let the next person come in. Why do they have to keep the people from speaking to them directly? It's wrong. It's just wrong.
And if you can go to Costco and you can go to Walmart and you can go to all these places and social distance, the fact that you can't go to your Board of Supervisors meeting, a public meeting, is just
you
wrong.
You know what? You all are a bunch of sissies. That's all I can say.
Well, if you look at their calendar, we're not going to miss that many meetings because they're probably not meeting more than a couple times for the rest of the summer anyway.
I am really disappointed in you guys this time. You know what? I'm disappointed because we broke the code last time. Okay, we got to take a break. Stephanie Bridgeway, the district attorney's office, got a resounding thumbs up from the grand jury, even though that they're overworked, underpaid, underloved. Their morale is still there. This says a lot for you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll be right back. Linda, show's over. Let's hop in the truck and head over to Country Kitchen for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Country Kitchen is open for that in-dining experience for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Country Kitchen has their own in-house bakery, everything home-cooked with the freshest ingredients. Can I hear yum?
You can hear cinnamon rolls. Country Kitchen, locally owned for 27 years, located on Hilltop Drive in the Hillcrest Shopping Center.
Let's go.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in, which saves you time and money. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com and like us on Facebook. Or find Premier Oil Change in Wairika on Main Street behind the Valero Station. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory,
Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air, we are at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. It is 8:50 in the morning here on the 16th, and what's it look like today for the rest of the day here, Trish Clark?
We're looking at 107 degrees. Right now it's about 78 degrees in downtown Reading, but going to be 107 today.
107 degrees. So that means that the inside of your car is going to go way hot. And yesterday I saw on Facebook where somebody saw had a dog in a car, and they were, you know, people were telling them break the window. And no, you call Haven Humane. That's an emergency call to them. They will respond immediately. It goes to the top of their list. They've got a one of those thermometer guns that can reach, that can tell how hot it is inside the car. They're going to be looking for the owner, and if they can't find the owner and it reaches that certain point, bang, that window gets broken and they take the animal. So, just so you know that. So, but be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
We're here with Shasta County DA Stephanie Bridges.
Well, and unfortunately, children as well.
Children.
That happens.
Children.
Or elderly people. You have your
elderly people.
Yeah, you have your mother or father with you, and you need to make a quick stop, or an elderly friend. You can't leave them in the car. You can't make a quick stop.
No. Right.
And by the way, the backs of trucks, where you think that they're outside breathing, but those truck beds get
are
up.
Are hot.
You know, yeah, they also will get up in the 130s.
Right.
Okay, Stephanie, all this in the news, use of force.
Right.
An incident happens, a policeman shoots somebody. Somebody dies during an arrest. What are the procedures for that?
Right. So we do have a procedure here in Shasta County, and I know this is something that everyone's hearing about and seeing nationwide, and it's really a relevant topic of conversation that everyone is having. So it's important for our community to know what we are doing here locally. So the chiefs of police, the sheriff, myself, the highway patrol, all of our different local and state agencies that operate here in Shasta County, we have met and we regularly meet to have a memorandum of understanding of how these will be handled. So we're all going to work jointly. We're going to have a multiple agency call out in order to ensure that transparency, that oversight, to make sure it's investigated properly, make sure there is no possibility of any type of cover up or anything like that. Not that we would think that any of our agencies would do that, but I think it's important for us to have that oversight and that transparent process to make sure that it is done properly and, you know, have that amount of public trust in what we're doing.
Because certainly that you can't always deal with facts. The perception of the public right now is that it isn't on the up and up.
Absolutely.
So you have to go the extra mile to make sure that what you're doing is clear and right out there for people to see, so there can be no misevaluation of it.
Right. So what's going to happen is if there's one of these incidents that happen, and they do every year, we have a few of them that happen. We're going to get called, and we're going to get called usually in the middle of the night that there was a use of force incident, and all the agencies are going to respond. That includes investigators from my office. My Bureau of Investigations is going to respond, Reading Police, Sheriff's Office. Everyone's going to respond out to that scene. I'm going to respond to that scene. The chief of police usually goes out. The sheriff goes out so that we can all talk about it and see initially what's going on. And a plan is decided. You know, if it's the Shasta County Sheriff's Office that is the one that was involved in the shooting, typically the Reading Police Department's going to take the lead in that investigation. And they're going to assign out jobs. All the agencies are going to work together, and they're going to team up, typically in teams of two, to go around and do the interviews. And it's going to be from two different agencies. So it'd be like, one of my investigators with someone from the Reading Police Department or with someone from the Sheriff's Office going around doing...
Or the Anderson Police Department.
Yeah, or the Anderson. Yeah, all of them.
Let's not always just stick to the county and the city and, Anderson.
Got to throw Anderson in there for Trish.
That's when your voice raises again.
I know.
When we talk the Board of Supervisors and Anderson, it goes up 12 octaves. But
so we're all going to do that multiple agency investigation and make sure that, you know, every test that can be done, every interview that can be done is done. And then that investigating agency is going to spend the time that they need. And I know a lot of people sometimes get frustrated with how long these take. But it's because, you know, they're getting all the information that they possibly can together to present that case. And then once that case is fully investigated, it's brought over to my office, and it's usually done with a presentation to myself and my chief deputy. And we get a presentation on all the facts, everything that happened, and then we're left with the entire case to then start our process of reading, reviewing, watching. Hey, please go out and ask these additional questions or go get this additional evidence. So we know not only have multiple agencies done it, then my office has spent a significant amount of time reviewing it before any ultimate decision is made.
And this is what takes – so when you get going through all that, that takes time. Well, right. What about this case of this the policeman that was accused of the marijuana thing and all this other stuff, Williams?
Right.
So when after he's arrested, then they have to do the investigation. Now, is this – just like anybody else that gets arrested? I mean, do they send something forward to you at all? Do you have to wait until the whole investigation is brought forward?
Well, we wait until a case is formally submitted to our office. So the procedure would be the agency that is the investigating agency's got to finish whatever they can put together. So in their belief that they can prove the case,
right.
And they submit it through a formal process requesting charges through my office, and that's when we begin the review process.
Okay. Just like they would with any other criminal arrested.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. It's being handled the exact same way.
So I thought I saw that we hired a new DA or assistant DA. Was that a few weeks ago? Or maybe I just was reading old news.
I think during the commercial commercial break we were talking about.
Actually, we did that on the air.
Oh, did we?
We hired some people.
We
right?
talked continuously, so I'm not sure what was on the air and what wasn't.
You know what? And then I apologize.
One's in background check, and new one's coming on August 2nd.
Right.
There you go.
I get in the chat room here, and I'm trying to keep this, keep this under control, which is impossible. Oh, that's right. And I said, "Well, can I do that when I'm?"
That's right.
I'm getting my law degree from PragerU. I don't know if they it says I'm a lawyer. As long as I pass the bar.
The California State Bar.
Do I even have to go to law school?
Well,
you can take the baby bar.
It's interesting that you bring that up because there are rumors swirling right now that this might happen, that they might cancel the bar exam this year because of the COVID and everything that's going on, but not delay the people who have signed up to take it, just issue them their bar license without taking the exam.
And in the state where sometimes they have to take it three or four times before that's incredible.
We have like a 30% pass rate.
Oh, yeah.
For those of us who have had to study for and take it, we're not very happy.
They won't do that with my driver's license.
Right.
How much is
it? It hasn't happened yet, but there are.
How much is taking the bar? How much does that cost?
Oh, boy, that's been a long time since I paid that. I don't recall how much
it
was.
Is it like $500?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be $500 or $600, somewhere around there. I'm not sure what it is now, but you're also going to pay, like, I think I paid anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000 just for study courses and study material.
But
so
see,
it's a lot.
If you want to take that gamble this year, and you put in for it, I'll pay $500 just on the off case. Okay, we're just going to send you you've passed the bar.
Yeah.
And so I can hang my shingle out.
Well, I think you still have to have your degree, though.
You still have to have your degree before you can,
Not just anybody can sign up to get a
to
bar
take
license.
The bar,
but you have to have a degree as long as you, I mean, if I have a degree, but it's not a law degree.
There are some exceptions to having a law degree and taking the bar exam. So I don't know how that would be impacted, whether those exceptions could still apply and get it. And I'm not 100% sure what those are, but I know that there are.
Okay. All right. Today during our show, we talked about the grand jury report that overpaid, overworked, but your morale is still up. And again, Stephanie, that goes straight to you. So well, thank you for what you're doing.
I appreciate that, but it's really because we have an amazing staff too. I mean, the attorneys, everybody is amazing there.
Yeah, and the problems we have when picking juries now, because everybody's unmasked and trying to pick a jury without being able to see their face is really difficult for both sides.
Right.
And so, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
This thing about picking juries is a big thing.
Yeah.
And that's before you can get started. Okay, hey, tomorrow we're going to get Good News Rescue Mission in here and probably a couple other things, too. So everybody have a great day. Trish, again, thank you so much for being with me.
Always my pleasure.
And it's going to be 107 today, so be careful. It's good guys against bad guys. Which are you?
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.